Good morning. Today is Wednesday, June the 14th. I had an issue with the calendar.
Valentine's Day. Oh, no. That's February. Just felt like there was love in the air.
Boy, I was thinking more. There was a panic wave that shot through the community. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor Mr. Bone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Our quote this morning. You really wanted me to go with this one?
I like it.
Okay. Albert Camus, not one of my faves at all. Quote, "Nobody realizes that some people expend tremendous energy merely to be normal." Now, that one I like. I got that.
I like that one. I mean, yeah. Camus not my, but I do like that because a lot of people have to work really hard to seem normal. And some people don't have to work hard at all to be abnormal.
Yeah. Maybe that's a new political affiliation, the abnormals.
Yeah.
See who would join me there.
I think we're there.
Yeah. Hey, how's the ADA stuff going?
ADA stuff, I mean, since we got our walking papers from the DOJ and everything else, the staff is ramped up. They're having daily meetings. They're having a weekly wrap-up.
Ramped up?
Yeah.
I guess that's pretty good.
I just...
You know, for an old-timer, that's
yeah,
not
there
bad.
You go.
Yeah.
They're, it is something we have to address. But the other thing is, you know, we reside a good majority of our operations, you know, in the courthouse, obviously, a 60-year-old building, plus 60. We have offices in some Victorians in Old Town. There's just no way we're going to make those ADA. This is probably one of the biggest challenges that the county's going to face. And it's a short term, you know, we have these wish lists. We go out and ask people if we have extra tax money, be it Measure S or whatever, what would you like to do? And there's, you know, first five, drug treatment, housing,
social stuff.
Roads, well, roads, not social stuff, but a little bit of everything else. And we're basically going to probably put a majority of that to ADA to make our buildings fully accessible for everybody, which is noble, which is the right thing to do. It's just too bad that the visioning wasn't there 20 years ago to start this process a little bit sooner.
The rules weren't there 20 years ago.
A lot of them were, but a lot of them have been in the last 10 to 12 years have been, you know, basically saying, you've had your chance, now get it done. And so we're
like... Is it a time also, Rex, to be looking at physical consolidation?
Yes, yes.
Because I would think that, you know, if you need a cattle prod, this is probably a pretty good
one. This is a time we need to look at, you know, because the courts need more room. Courts need more room. We're looking at moving some things around to accommodate them. And they've looked at that. You know, the big thing across the street. They were talking about building a multi-unit building across the street
it
in that parking
seems
lot.
Seems right.
And that's not out of the. But the other thing is with the budgets, with you know all the money's gone, it still has to be paid for. And there's just $25-$30 million, $40 million building. Just isn't in the cards. But if
how
you
much
can,
does the county spend in various rent throughout the area that could be brought into?
Oh, quite a bit. But a lot of it is spent on DHHS, which there's a little caveat there with federal monies. You can't build equities. Basically, we can't own buildings and rent buildings back to DHHS. That's why you see so much rentals involved with them.
So that budget wouldn't be applicable.
That part isn't. But that's not to say we don't have other avenues that wouldn't work. And so that's what we're looking at.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for some place different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, the concept of physical or maintenance management, all that kind of stuff, it's got to go under the heading of the least sexy thing that a governmental jurisdiction could possibly do. Roofs, gutters, sidewalks, paint, replacement, drainage, all that kind of really cool stuff. You know, I know you have people protesting wanting more of that.
Well,
how can you allocate, during the budget process that you guys are in the middle of, how can you allocate enough to get that done without having the library folks or the this folks or that folks saying, we need more, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be spending so much on building maintenance.
No, and if you know, I've said this many, many times. If I go back to a 1984 budget, which I have a copy in my, I think we had 140, 150 people in the roads and, you know, in the public, in that part of it, maintenance and roads and all that. And everyone goes, I think we're down to 60 some odd. You know, we had a guy that was on call over the weekend, you know, or sometimes on duty, because there's stuff to be done on over the weekends instead of bringing people in, you know, one or two up, because we still have a 24/7 facility in the jail that needs that things, believe it or not, those people like to break things. It's the only thing they have to do. But, you know, the maintenance, and it gets longer. We cut those budgets, but the buildings get older, so they need more rather than less. And it, sometimes, I had a meeting yesterday with somebody, and they said, it's visioning. We need to plan better, you know. You don't think about cleaning the gutters till your roof leaks because it's overflowed and backed up. You know, you don't think about,
you put
it
on a calendar.
Yeah.
It just is the normal process. And I would think, you know, if you had, let's say, a 20-year life and you had 100 properties, everyone gets some kind of a every 20 years, so that means 5 a year.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 and it just gets penciled in and gets punched out. That doesn't happen?
I think it is on schedules. I think it, but do I go clean the gutter, or the assessor's office just called and said their window is broken and it's, you know, wide open and it can't shut and cold air is blowing into the office and blowing papers. I mean, whenever, you know, triage. What do you put off? You go put the Band-Aid on what's bleeding rather than, you know, fix the thing that caused the bleeding, the sharp edge that needed to be pounded down or whatever the case may be. There's so many things that pull them in another direction, and you don't have anybody to backfill that position of the maintenance end of it. And I think Public Works does a pretty good job of it. They've got a great understanding of our old buildings. I mean, you go into the basement and there's a myriad of pipes and wires, and they've got an idea, and things like that fail in a 60-year-old building. I mean, ask anybody that lives in a 60-year-old house. I mean, those things change, and they try to, you know, during the recent structural that we just had done on the courthouse, we did a lot of upgrades to some of the systems. Why, in contrast, because we had walls open, we did the ADA stuff at the same time we did the ADA stuff in the chambers, so you can access everything. So they have that visioning. You know, if you're going to have a wall open, what else needs to be put in this wall before we close it back up? But it's all also done at a time when we have to be doing it, and then we add the extra on.
So in looking at the overall picture, would you consider a coordinated effort? Or, like you were saying, patch and Band-Aid and duct tape and Gorilla Glue and hope and a prayer?
I think in the past, it hasn't been as coordinated as they'd like. But now with these ADA meetings and so many different departments having to talk, the impacts it's going to have, everybody else is saying, while we do this, should we fix this at the same time? So I think there's a coordinated effort into making everything as good as it can be with what revenue is available and to meet the criteria of the Department of Justice edict against us on the ADA and to make it a better work environment for our employees.
You'd mentioned that it was kind of a challenge in even doing the preliminary based on the types of structures that county offices are located in. Okay. A lot of those just kind of popped up over the years and over the decades. I'm thinking of the motor pool specifically, but okay, there's a bunch of other places also that the county acquired for one reason or another at whatever the time it made most sense to. Has there been a revisiting to that stuff and looking and seeing? Because a lot of those, and again, well, for folks that aren't aware, it's on the located on the bluff overlooking the bay.
Right over the adobe.
Let's call it prime space and just kind of leave it at that. Now, it might be contaminated, but it's still a prime location.
It's actually a fairly clean, and if you remember right, 15 years ago, 18 years ago, remember there was four buildings down there.
Right.
And we had a very devastating fire because the sign shop used to be there.
Kaboom.
And we had the paint shop, the sign shop, and all those things. And that all burnt one evening. And I remember going down there, and it was because there was a lot of material to burn.
Yeah, flammable, yeah.
Yeah, so.
So in looking at where the holdings are, I got to believe that it can't be as efficient as it could be just because it grew up over decades.
Well, and right across the street from that, though, is our motor pool. That's building maintenance. And we also have the lab for our testing for the roads and material testing. Right across the street from that is our big motor pool building. And that is somewhat convenient because a lot of the people come from the courthouse that have to use the motor pool. So that is somewhat convenient. But is it the most convenient? Could it all be out on Jacobs Avenue where the other part of the heavy-duty motor pool is so everything's consolidated? I don't know if there's room out there. Now, on the value on the property, I think the building's in pretty good shape. But right next to us is a full city block that's empty that nobody has done anything with.
Well, you still need to have a willing seller.
No, I understand. I understand. I think it would be a great place for a waterfront motel and things like that. And so we've discussed that, saying, could we acquire enough capital to move those, you know, consolidate
that? Yeah,
it's
not the building on top. It's the property underneath.
Yeah. Can we do that and then make us a more consolidated structure?
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone, talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. Rex, some of the stuff that's going on is predictable. Some of it isn't. Some of it is decisions that have to be made because they're pushed in front of you. The budget, you guys are kind of going through that process now, and doesn't seem to be an awful lot of hoopla associated with it at this point. It's probably because everybody's a little satiated because of the extra monies that are floating around. What's the elephant in the middle of the room associated with the budget this year?
The recession that comes every 8 or 9 years that hasn't hit yet. I mean, everybody keeps saying it's coming, you know, and, you know, we don't have our reserves.
We haven't pulled out yet.
Well,
or, you know.
Yeah, you're right, but I'm
LA
just saying.
Maybe,
but our sales tax dollars are up, I mean, exceeding what we thought they would. Property taxes are creeping up. We have no houses.
Well, they should be flying, considering the undeveloped property and what it's selling for. Holy Toledo.
A lot of that, but I always.
But I know you only get a piece of it.
We only get a piece of it, and I think it's 17%. I'm not sure what the exact number. But the other thing is I always wonder on some of these sales how much actually hits the books, you know, because they're
cash driven,
you know, and I think that those are part of the escalators. But is that I'd sure hate to bank everything we have going forward on that, because I think there's going to be some secession on that.
You were here. Let me throw something at you. I know I just hit you with the elephant question, but I kind of answered it. There's a school of thought that as the county and privates in various jurisdictions are building up for the marijuana thing January 1st, that this could be like the logging industry 25 years ago. The infrastructure gets in place and then the market shifts out from underneath. Whether it's going to another location or it isn't this panacea. Do you have fear, concern, worry, somewhere on that scale, that we're going to have this in place for 3 or 4 years and then the market's going to shift away from Humboldt County yet again to other places?
Well,
we're going to be left holding the bag?
I'll put my redneck hat on for this. The market didn't shift in the timber industries. It just got too expensive to log because of the environmental constraints. And I'm not saying they were all bad, good, or indifferent, but people sometimes think that the logging industry is dead. And I look around at Humboldt Redwood.
It's not dead, but we only have 2 mills. And that's the real visible for people and seeing the logging trucks.
And yeah. There is a certain amount of automation. There's a certain amount of, we have a third mill coming in back in Corbell. Within a year, we're not going to be on our historical numbers.
We won't be in the historical
numbers because we're not putting tariffs on Canadian lumber. I mean, Canadian lumber is still flooding into our market and things like that. But we couldn't
do it anyway.
And the difference between the marijuana and the wood is you can't grow redwoods down in Salinas. You can grow pot in Salinas because they're putting 40
acre parcels. It has wheels on it.
Now, with that being said, I've always said Modesto makes a hell of a lot more wine than Napa, but Napa sells volume-wise or cash money-wise outsells Modesto. With that, there's still always going to be a clamoring, or this is where it started. We have some legacy growers that make a very good product.
There'll be a little boutique.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
And I don't think it's just, I don't know where all this stuff goes anyway, but I think it's going to be a little bit more than boutique-y.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I look at the beer industry. Okay. I know Anheuser-Busch isn't controlled by the Busch family anymore, but give me a little wiggle on this. Budweiser and Bud Light and the whole family is still the number one producer. Okay. The craft beer industry, which took off,
has doubled in the last 10 years,
is now softening in favor of others.
Well, it's softening because some of the biggest craft beers have been bought by InBev.
Right, right.
And, Lagunitas
and
all these
things, also.
And now they don't be considered a craft beer, so they come out of the market.
Right. And things shift and change. And now I guess it's into the vodkas. And before it was the red wines.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fickle market. I got to think that marijuana is going to be comparable, where you're going to have the big producers, the Ernest and Julio folks, and then you're going to have the Opus guys. But there's not too many that are buying Opus, and there's a lot of guys that are buying, whether it's Ernest and Julio or your favorite brand, it doesn't matter.
I know there's a lot of people that went into the business in Colorado, I hear, went into it because Matt got legalized. They bought warehouses and everything else, and they closed up warehouses.
That's the concern.
And the instance was, it wasn't because of lack of market. It was because they didn't make a very good product.
So you think it was product quality, it wasn't lagging demand?
Saturation. No, I don't think it was saturation. I think that there's still people out there that want a quality product. And since I still have a Class 1 truck driver's license and still can get pulled as a pole to get drug tested, I wouldn't know what a good product is or a bad product is. But I do know that Humboldt...
At the price point,
but I know
it's got to be expensive,
but yeah. I do know that I travel, and I tell them I'm a supervisor from Humboldt County when I'm in Washington, D.C., and they don't ask me how my redwood trees are doing. They don't ask me any of that. They ask me about the product. So obviously there's a brand identity. There was just a law passed in the assembly that said brand identity, if it has anything that looks like the name Humboldt or any other name, the product has to come from there. So
this is more like the farmers, the farm-to-table thing?
I think that's what's going to go. I don't have enough grasp of the market.
Well, and it's so goofy, too. But, like Napa wine. You need, 10% to be grown in Napa, the berry?
No, it's a lot more now. It's a lot more now. That passed. That's comparable to this thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I think. So I think, and there's a lot of guys out there that are in the business that are spending quite a bit of money marketing the brand. I mean, be it, There's four or five out there that are spending large amounts of money, from what I hear, to market this brand. And I've read the books.
Because of their fear.
13 years of Prohibition, or Last Call. It's two books on the Prohibition, coming out of Prohibition. And we're running so like to like on this issue. It's almost scary.
How did it turn out?
Well, you've got little places like Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Dry.
It's a dry county. But they're still turning out a lot of whiskey that could be made
in
downtown L.A.
That's what we needed to do, you goofball. We should have made Humboldt County a dry county for marijuana, and then we wouldn't have had any of the problems.
No,
and ship it all out, and we keep the money. Well, just a thought.
Let me see if I can do that Tuesday.
Yeah. It's 8:44.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bohm. Rex, some of the different challenges that are there are anticipated. Some of them aren't. I've been kind of on a little jag here the last little bit. How do you, as a supervisor, how do you, as a guy who's time crunched, keep flexibility in your structure?
It's
without getting chewed up.
Well, I think the quote of the day kind of says it. It's amazing how many busy people are just to be normal. And I'm one of those guys that's, you know, kind of goes, you know, before I ever got into this job, I did my auctions. And which helps me get out into the community. But, I mean, I've got, you know, two last weekend, one this weekend. Great way to see people, but takes up your whole evening. And, you know, but they're all for nonprofits. And this job takes a lot of time. There's a lot of personal commitment to meetings in your district, people that have issues, neighborhood watch meetings. You want to be on top of those just so people know that you're on it. The marijuana issue, I'd love to see that go away. I'd love to see this taper down and have a reasonable amount of grows and no environmental damage, and that's what we're trying to get to. With that being said, you know, we've spent a lot of time talking about it, but there's 2,300 applications and 12,000 grows. So there's 7,000-8,000 people. There's a reason they didn't come in and get a permit, and it wasn't just paperwork. You know, they don't want to be in the system, they don't want to pay their taxes, or they're in a position that they're diverting water and they're in a place they shouldn't be. That's who the code enforcement, the sheriff, that's who we want to get out of our system.
You've got the code enforcement challenge. Billy was in a couple weeks ago, and he said that, you know, he doesn't have the manpower to be a code enforcement. It's not sheriff. Has that issue been resolved yet?
It hasn't been resolved. And in all respect to Billy, I mean, you know, he does not have the manpower. But the thing is it's kind of funny when you get thrown in the water and you can't swim, you learn to swim. We're gonna try to make it work and provide services to the people with the manpower we have. He is fully staffed. And in historical numbers, which the sheriff's department hasn't been for years.
And they've got the gun. I mean, you wouldn't want a code enforcement guy going out unarmed.
We've got people. So Billy's going to work with code enforcement. There's no doubt in my mind.
Is there additional revenues for that? It's almost
like any department. The first thing they do is they ask for more staffing. And I think we have to look at these times, you know, in financial times and everything else. Do as much as you can with the staffing you have, and then we'll work from there. Work with us on that.
Now, if you got 7,800 grows, that's a lot of going and seeing folks.
Well, and you have to understand though, they've added 150 people in the state of California with the Department of Fish and Wildlife and with the Water Board. Those are our partners on that.
They're going to be out there in the field as well.
They have to be out there. We have to, but we can't do this all on our own because they're taking our money to do this. So they need to step up.
Thanks for coming by.
Always fun.
Go out and do something. See everybody tomorrow.